makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh, when within my soul. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh, well, within my soul. Spring up, oh, well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh, well, and give to me that life. Sing that once again. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh, well, within my soul.
Grateful and thankful back in the house of the Lord again. I guess sometimes I have a weird imagination of things happen. I got up this morning, got ready to go, had everything but my walking cane. I couldn't find it. And I looked all over the house and I thought, I said, well, all you people up there, some of y'all I'll be able to look down and tell me where my cane. And I turned around, sound like I heard brother, I said, well, brother, it's out there in the truck where you left it. I walked out in the truck, my cane was out there. And we're gonna read Psalm 46. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful for this privilege and opportunity that you have given us to come together to worship. Father, we pray then in our hearts, Father, that we will yield all unto you, that you can bring forth the words and speak them unto us. Father says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Father, we pray this morning that as the word come forth, that our spirit will be yielded to the spirit of the speaker, that we will hear the words come unto us. God, we thank you and ask you to bless us and guide us and be always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore will I not be feared, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah.
There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early.
The heathen raged, the kingdoms were removed. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth these chariots in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Wonderful reading.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
For your strength will be renewed when you wait.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to go ahead and, I guess, Brother Wade, if you want to prepare to come out, we're going to sing I Feel the Pull, 596.
At night I lay in bed and I began to cry. Oh, when my mind just fails to know exactly why, I can't explain.
Sing that second verse.
I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, he was drawing me to live a higher plane. But there is a
this morning.
I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me.
Sing that second verse one more time. I went to hear the word
this morning.
I went to hear the word.
Now what you come to do today? You come to hear the word.
Each time.
And then
pray.
Sing it to it.
my goal. Cause I feel alone.
Sing it to him.
Oh, I feel the pull. I hear the call.
You hear it this morning? He's here to talk to us today. Feel the pull today. You came here to hear from God. You didn't come here to hear from somebody else. You came here to hear from the Lord Himself through the foolishness of preaching, the Bible tells us. So we sure appreciate you, each and every one of you being here. Again, Brother John, good job on that. That's really fruitful. I like fruitful things. You know, you can take home something, you can take home with you and chew on. Some of the times it's bitter, but chew on it. Remember Brother Bob and Brother Joe Canada, they're at Brother Andre's today, so they're gone from us the weekend. Pray for them coming back today. Remember, I'll be speaking Wednesday night. Saturday, there's a wedding. Lauren Fleeman's getting married, and I'm doing the wedding, but if you were invited, you could go. I don't think it's open for everybody, but it'll be in Clemson, South Carolina. But now next Sunday, everybody listen, next Sunday, the 7th, we're only going to have one service. The second service will start at 2 o'clock, but we will have a wedding ceremony, vow renewal ceremony. We'll have a water baptism if anybody wants to be baptized. I'll speak a few minutes on water baptism, maybe in a little bit on marriage, just a second. And then if you want any of your children or babies dedicated during that time, we don't have babies, but we've got some maybe that can want to be dedicated. We'll do a baby dedication service. We'll just not have any preaching per se. Next Saturday, remember, I'll be gone. Then it'll be next Sunday. We'll have one regular service in the morning. Then we'll come back at 2 o'clock. And if you want to be rebaptized, we baptized 20 people last year. I'd like to get it started again this year. Amen. And then there'll be a vow renewal ceremony. If you want to renew your vows, get your wife a corsage or some kind of flower. And then you're going to look at her and tell her you want to marry her again. Amen? Amen? And then if any babies want to be dedicated, then we will do that at that time. All right? And we will conduct the service in that manner. Second service next Sunday, second service. All right. Everybody stay. We want everybody to stay and support the people, especially vow renewal and water baptism. And then if you have any babies, be dedicated. We'll probably get Brother Dale to come up here and dedicate your babies if you want to be rededicated. Babies, I'm a baby. We'll rededicate our heart to the Lord, all of us. Amen. Next Sunday, if that time permits, we'll do that. All right. Now, the next Saturday, not this coming, the next Saturday, we will have a prayer service from 5 to 6, just like we usually do before we have a big service. It's done really well. I was talking to Brother Willie and I. We were talking yesterday about it. And they have a prayer service certain times. So prayer service is important, I believe. From 5 to 6, we'll have it here in the sanctuary. And then we'll go downstairs, not this coming Saturday, the next Saturday, second Saturday in May. From 6 to 8, we'll have Bible study. There were so many questions that weren't answered. I don't think we need to wait another month. We need to get them answered. So we'll do that from 6 to 8 downstairs. After we get finished with the 5 to 6 prayer service here, we'll go downstairs and have Bible study. Also, still remember, if you want to have a class of canning or sewing, or I know one's already said you wanted to have a sewing class, a cooking class. Sister Gabby does a beautiful job decorating cakes. I wish she'd do that maybe one Saturday, come and show you how to decorate cake. And we'll do it one Saturday, probably one day next month, and we'll have just have Bible study that evening. That way we can just spend a whole day, you guys. We can go fishing or whatever. Or you can learn how to sew. Some of you guys need to, Aaron, I mean, some of you guys need to learn how to sew. Keep my wife from having to sew your britches for you. So anyway, praise the Lord. She's teaching the class. She's the one that suggested we do this. No, we didn't. We were just sitting talking the other day, and we thought, the canon class went well last year, so we would we want to continue to do that and teach the young ones. Isn't that what the Bible says? Older sisters teach the younger sisters how to do things, all right? Brother John's teaching us how to save money now, so that's good. We can put what little bit we got, we can buy some sewing stuff. I like what Brother Ram called it, goods. You know, you used to go to the store and buy goods. It ain't that way anymore, but you go to the store and buy goods, bolts of this and bolts of material and all that. So we can make some real pretty items. Mom used to make some really pretty dresses for Anna back a long time ago. So you can do it. All right, so now then that will be on the second Saturday. Third Saturday, May the 20th, will be 3 o'clock youth service. We're expecting a good group that's already said they would be here from other churches, so we'll have a good time at 3 o'clock, May the 20th. Brother William Borlevon will be with us, and then he'll be with us that Sunday. We'll only have one service and then fellowship afterwards. So if you would, I know I'll announce these again. I'll announce them Wednesday night too. But look on the website. We do have a website. Look on the website. Brother Joe's got a calendar of events, and it's on that calendar of events. All right. If it's not, it will be pretty close to the next day or two when he gets back, but I think some of it's already on there. So just remember these things. Remember, we got people that are out sick, Sister Frieda and different ones. We thank the Lord for the guys doing a good job back there with the internet service to where that people can sit home and watch. The ones that can't get out can sit home and watch. Amen. So we appreciate that. So let's sing. We're going to introduce our brother Willie Smiley. He's from Okeechobee, Florida. And we met him back when it was like 13 colonies in the United States. So, but we've never got him up here before. And you'll know why his last name's Smiley, because he's going to be smiling the whole time. But let's have our brother come and preach for us. Brother Willie Smiley from Okeechobee, Florida. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, as he comes to minister to us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Good to be in the service of the living God this morning. I got a brother at our church. He always say, I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than the best hospital it is in the country. So I kind of agree with him on that. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord wherever I am. You know, I heard Brother Dale talking about the different ones. I appreciate the mediums that we have today. of Facebook and all of these different avenues to be able to, especially as you get older and feeble in the body. But it's just something about it. Brother Branham say when a man get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he can't hardly wait till the church door is open. And I'm that kind of person. I remember contracting COVID a couple of times and having to quarantine. That was misery for me. You know, trying to watch the service at home. I ain't good at that. One time I had a brother that was preaching at the church, and man, I was struggling bad. Before I know it, I was up in the bed, and all I could hear, I was gone. So I appreciate the Lord this morning. Let's get our Bibles out. We'll read a place in the scriptures. Good to be here, to be in fellowship with Brother Dale and Brother Samuel. I met them some years ago at Brother Burley's camp. I don't know if I met him before then, but I know. And Brother Dale got down and preached for us, and it's been a long, long time. So I was surprised when my brother-in-law like, "Hey, Brother Dale, I want you to come up and minister." I was like, "Okay, praise the Lord." But over the years, I had the privilege of being able to, like I say, I appreciate the internet and all. I got a chance to actually hear some good preaching from Brother Dale. It's not many people that I listen to, but I always used to find myself listening to the pastor. Then over the years, just an elder in the faith, I still feel like, you know, I ain't much of a preacher, but it's always good to be able to listen to people that you got confidence in. Amen. You know, somebody that's going to be in the straight and narrow, gonna cut you a little bit, but it's going to be right. It's going to be right. So I salute him this morning, and it's a privilege to be able to share the platform that he's built over 40 some years. And that's something that, you know, as a servant of God, you don't take for granted. Amen. A man like Brother Dale. So we like to read a scripture, have a word of prayer, and just see how the Lord will lead us. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse of scripture. No, maybe we'll read from the 18th and the 19th. When you have it, say amen. Amen. It says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of," and I'm not going to try to mess that word up for you, "the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice accepted, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let us have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come this morning to give thanks and praise for allowing us this opportunity to be able to come and to be able to fellowship around Eagles Food. We just thank you for the invite. We pray that you anoint us afresh, anoint my body, Lord, and my thinking. Lord, the enemy been just kind of fighting me since yesterday in the flesh, but Lord, I got the victory, Lord, and we just want to pray for the saints back home and Brother Jack, and pray that you just continue to have your way. We ask these and other prayers and blessings in Jesus' name. We ask it, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. We just like, by the grace of God, to use as a topic the purpose of the crushing. And just a little subject that we approached at home during the Easter holiday, pre-Easter, because Brother Jack preached the Easter sermon, and some things that we were just trying to encourage the church by. A lot of times I realize in working with people, I pastored a little bit, about 23 years, I don't anymore, but we just kind of assist my brother-in-law, Brother Jack, and just working with the saints there in West Palm Beach. And just one of the things that I've grown to realize, and just talking with people and listening to people, the purpose of things for a lot of people, they feel like, well, this is not necessary and that's not necessary. The word purpose, it means the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists. And when we think about God, when there was nothing and nobody to consult, in his mind, God had purpose for just everything that was done. Is that right? How many can say amen to that? And you know, we're talking about a sovereign God. Is that right? We're talking about infinite knowledge, right? And for me, I don't think that anything could supersede the knowledge of God. The principles of which God laid things out. Is that right? And so for me, now this is me. I don't know about anybody else, because, you know, everybody else got their own mindsets, and especially in a day of reasoning and just false light and things of that nature. We find that when people look at scripture, you know, they pulling out this and they're pulling out that, and this don't mean that anymore. And we're living in an age of confusion. Is that right? I think I heard somebody say it, you know, you just don't hardly know what to call anybody anymore. He, she, they, them, you know, all these plurals and just so much nonsense that don't coincide with what God's purpose was. I mean, God, in the beginning, in his mind, he had family in his mind. He purposed when he brought into existence Adam and saw Adam, you know, was lonely. He brought, you know, forth Eve from the side of Adam. That was the purpose of God. That was to establish, amen, a picture. And also to show what was in just God's mind, because what was in God was attributes. And so what we see in Genesis was the expression of the attributes of God. Right? I mean, when you go back to Genesis, you see a real standard. You see real family. You see real order. Is that right? Is that right? You see perfection in Genesis. Glory to God. Now we working towards that. We know by thought these things has been restored. We thank God we've had a prophet. You know, we're in a season now where people are walking away from the word of God and things of that nature. And that's their choice, because they're free moral agents. That's their choice to do that. But to me, it shows that people have a lack of understanding. That they miss, they have missed the objective of God sending us a prophet. And what was his motives and what was his intentions were all about. Right. Is that right? Right. And for me, it's to kind of show us what was in the mind of God. Yes. See, without Genesis, and Genesis being the seed chapter of the Bible, we wouldn't have no picture. Right? We wouldn't have a picture. We wouldn't have anything to look back at. Then how could, you know, preaching the scriptures speak of redemption? How could we actually use that type of terminology if we had nothing to look back to? Right? And because we got something that we could look back to,
we could talk about redemption.
Right?
We could talk about redemption. We could use this terminology purpose. Right? When we see the complete layout of God. Right? Oh, I like that. We can look back and see a perfect church. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Right? Amen. We could look back and see things in order, things in a oneness. Right? You could see families in oneness and in order. And Brother Branham makes a statement in oneness. He said that's a wonderful picture, just to paraphrase it, right? That's a wonderful picture to see everything that's in order, right? You know, the wife with the husbands and husband with wives and them with children. Right? So when I start to look at that, man, I appreciate God sending a servant because we didn't even have a clue. Just bits and pieces. I was able to listen to the Sunday school lesson. Now, who was that? Can I see who that was? Amen. I really do appreciate that. Those different principles, because I wish I had those things. When I was a younger man, you know, growing up before I got married, I would have understand, you know, I won't go into that, boy, because those things, they're close to my heart in this season, because, I'm, you know, you're never too old to learn and grow, and you just got to be a student. Right. At all times, you never, no matter how old you are, you're never too old to be a student, to be able to learn. And I think these things for a younger generation is just so important. Right. To really be able to comprehend all of these little principles. Let me get off of that. Because I'm starting to feel good on that. Those are the things. I it's just been close to my heart at home, and just trying to make sure that this younger generation don't do like, you know, we did. We had the revealed word, but just some things was missing when I was coming up being a Christian 35 years. It was a lot of doctrinal things and trying to really establish this. And then, you know, I come out of a certain view of the word and come into the knowledge of the truth. And you just saw a clash of the titans back then. You know what I mean? And so it left us kind of lacking in certain areas. In certain areas, you know, we were Christians, but we didn't have a full grasp on you know, our roles. You know, what my role would be as a Christian and as a husband, as a father, and so on and so forth, and my wife. It's just so much that we didn't get, so we just kind of went in there blind. We went in blind, and so we just kind of made a lot of mistakes. You know, we made a lot of mistakes that if we educated ourselves from a younger age, and not that things would go smoothly, because we're in a contest this morning. Right, we are still fighting the devil. He's still a good adversary. That's for sure. He's still a good adversary, but we would have known a little bit better how to combat. Right, combat him, throw him off. A lot of areas we wouldn't make the kind of mistakes that we made. Right, glory to God. So I mean, even in this season, those things are purposed. Purposed. I don't think that was by mistake. Right? See, my brother had to be crushed a little bit. You know? So that somebody else would benefit from his crushing. But like we say, there's a purpose in God. Always has been. Right? Always has been a purpose, a thought, not just something that's random. Right? We're not dealing with just random things. God sending us a prophet, it wasn't just random. Right? It was scriptural. See, when people look at us and they criticize and all those guys, no, this is not random. We're not here randomly. We're a part of what God had in his mind, what God purposed for this hour in which we're living in. Like, not just some random group of carnal-minded people that have come together and gathered. No, we could look back to Scripture and see where God had foreordained. God used a prophet to speak about another prophet coming. Yes. And with his coming had a purpose. Amen. Right? Amen. And it's far beyond belt buckles and all that. Mm-mm. Right? It's so much deeper than him and all of those different things. His coming, in the purpose of his coming, it was to turn us back, amen, to an original. An original thought, an original program of God, right? Not something that's man-made and man-set up and, you know, hierarchy and all of those different things, to turn us back to God himself, turn us back to real worship of God. Glory to God. Amen. Not the worship of humanity, but real worship of God by the word. I believe that was purposeful when it come to God. But when we look back to Genesis, we could see the purpose of God, right? We could see the expression of the attributes of God. Is that right? And we could look back and we get a real good view, a good picture, you know, looking at the fall. We don't preach apples and things of that nature. we realize what those things were, right? Eve opened up the womb of her mind and she accepted wrong seed, right? Amen. She should have kind of kept going, but it just really shows you the intellectual mind and reasoning. You can't do that with the devil. And I think for a lot of people that have walked away and things of that nature, it's the same spirit. Intellectual men and trying to reason, and instead of letting God reveal his plan and purpose to them, they want to kind of reason and just kind of make a lot of things personal. You know, personal attacks and things of that nature. But we have something that's far greater than that. But we look in Genesis and we find the fall. Right? Amen. We find Eve lusting for a PhD. Lusting to be smart. And I just say this, and I hope this be okay. She broke protocol in doing that. Right? She bypassed her head. Right? She bypassed her head. She bypassed order. She broke protocol in order to accept something intellectually. Right? Because if she would have went to her head initially, I don't believe that she would have gotten in the position that she found herself in, right? And she probably thought that she had a greater understanding than what Adam had given to her. But then she found out, oh my, It wasn't what I thought it was. And that's just like unbelief. Come on. Unbelief really is not what it is cracked up to be. In the beginning stages, it seemed like, man, this might not be so bad. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't really grow up in the back seat of the church. I was kind of what they call the hoodlum. But it was by choice. It was making bad decisions. I mean, my mother took us to church. I didn't grow up in the message, but my mother was part apostolic, part Baptist. She, as a kid, my grandmother was old-fashioned Pentecostal.
Amen.
And she died that way. She didn't, you know, change. When she died, she still had her skirt on and her blouses, you know, and stuff like that. She wasn't showing cleavage and nah. But that was just too strict for my mother. So, you know, she went to the Baptist church and there was a little bit more lenient and things of that nature. So I had both, you know, things coming up. Yeah. But at a young age, I made some bad decisions that took me by the way of, you know, the streets and drugs. And you won't be able to tell by looking at me now. But if you just saw me in 1988, you know, I was about this big. And I was all messed up from crack and some of everything else that I was on. But I thank God that when I actually got converted, I got converted in the message. The first day I was working on a church in West Palm Beach that, you know, I was a part of, Brother Westco, they were building, and I'm a drywall finisher by trade. And I walked in there that day, and I was needing God like, you know, you never needed God before. I just really, without God, I would have perished because I was kind of suicidal and everything. But, you know, I'm grateful for God purposing.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
God seeing me and knowing what age, knowing what time, knowing the season. God ordering my steps. We used to sing this song, order my steps in your word. Somebody know how to preach with me. I like that. God ordered my steps, and I'm so glad that he did. Is that right? Amen. He brought me to to truth. Is that right? He brought forth for changing me.
Amen.
Right? That I don't think that I would have gotten in any other denominational church.
Yeah.
My brother Wade told me that I ain't got much time this morning, so I'm slow. And you know, I have to tell him at church, I'm not an old man, but I'm not a young man anymore. So I can't spin around and like that, like little brother Andrew Glover and them. They kick and stomp. He's probably been down the aisles by now. Yeah, him and brother Solomon. But I'm a little older now, so I just don't move as much. I just try to bring out things that, you know, because one of the things that I've learned over the years, we've had a lot of excitement. Right? We've had a lot of excitement and all of that, but sometimes you have to look at where are all of those people? Where are all the people? I'm quite sure with the amount of people that have come through those doors, and if they would have stayed, this place wouldn't even be big enough. Right? Amen. So you have to ask the question. I'm big on asking the questions. And it's not ministry, right? Now I can vouch for that, and I ain't even a part of this local assembly. It's not what's been preached, but it's what's been quickened. What done moved from here to here? See, that makes the difference. It's got to move from here to here, in order to bring the stability that's needed for when you're challenged by the enemy up here. Right? One thing, I can't reason enough. I ain't that smart. I don't have any diplomas or degrees or anything. So I have to rely on what's been quickened to me by Almighty God. Is that right? So we see the fall in Genesis. Is that right? And we see initially, you know, Adam trying to do something within himself that was so contrary to scripture and what would be the purpose of God. Right? And I often look at it from this standpoint, because there's protocol, there's things that, you know, Brother Branham preached the message, Christ being identified by his characteristics. Him being identified by his word. Is that right? And so if God would have justly allowed Adam to adapt the fig leaf religion, then that's what it would have been down through history. Right? That would have been the standard. That would have been the program. See, Adam had no ability to redeem. Right? Glory to God. And I heard this for the first time right here. Right? Where Adam took Eve, he still couldn't redeem her. Right? He still couldn't have, because he didn't even know the program of God. He still didn't know what was in God's mind. He couldn't see how God was going to use blood down through scripture. He couldn't see that. So him taking Eve never redeemed, right? There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was principles that were going to come into play. Amen. After God comes on the scene and make the provision. See, my God shall supply all. See, man could not supply the need. Man could not meet the need for redemption. Couldn't do it. The intellect of man, Adam, and all of the work that he put in, I guess when we go on the other side, maybe we'll get a chance to see that. I'm not, you know, I don't know. But I'd like to just stand there and watch the work that he put in and what he done. And then God comes down and say, Adam, where you at? You know, I'm going to be sitting there kind of like this. Adam, you know, just watching it play out. Adam, where are you? Right? And then Adam realizes, this is not working. This is not working because I still kind of feel condemned. Eve, I don't know about you, but I'm going over here. You know, you can stay there, but I'm going over here because it's not working. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong, right? And so when God comes down, now everything is broken. The harmony, amen, of the husband and wife broken. This fellowship broken. Everything is broken, and Adam did not know how to fix it. That's kind of like a lot of folk, their lives are broken, and they be trying to fix it, and they be trying to fix stuff, and you can't fix it without God. See, people wants to bypass the atonements and the orders and the layouts and structures, right? And try to do things within themselves, and it don't work. You can't fix yourself. I couldn't fix myself. Is that right? Glory to God, I couldn't. I didn't know how. I didn't know where the starting point was. Right? I didn't really realize, you know, I always just thought church was for old folk. Well, praise the Lord. I ain't no different than most young people. You know, I feel like church just for my mama and my daddy and my grandmama and them. No, that's just not it. Church is for you too. Because you can't fix yourself. You can't fix your disposition. You can't fix your attitude. You can't fix your mindset on your own. Like the brother was talking about, you know, his spending habits. But where did those habits formulate from? From his background and the people that he watched. I'm with you on that, bro. I'm with you on that. You know? And then you wake up and like, ooh, this ain't good. Oh, this is far as I am? No, I should be way up the road somewhere. You should be, but you're not. Because of your mindset was really carnal.
Yes, right.
Right? Amen. And you know, I've been there, done that. You know, I first got married, man, we were trying to get everything we saw. Back in the day when we didn't have laptops back then, desktops cost you $1,500. And printers cost you $300, $500, stuff like. We were trying to get everything, not realizing, you know, you just got to grow and build up till you can get to these things and not get yourself into debt and stuff like that, right? But let's look at Genesis a little bit more. You know, Adam didn't know the program of God,
right?
So unfortunate, it's a lot of Bible people today don't really know the program of God. Right? It's still got to be blood. It's, see, I appreciate the bleeding, bloody word. Right? You know, we appreciate Calvary. Listen, let me tell you something. God purposed that. See, God knew that Calvary was necessary.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Right? It ain't something that you can bypass. You can't shake enough hands. Right? You can't shake enough hands to get in it, put your name on enough books to get in the glory. You got to come God's provided way. Right? God's provided way. Yes. You gotta follow the process.
Amen.
That's been laid out.
Amen.
Right? Glory to God. You know, I come up a little Baptist. I was baptized twice in the Baptist church, and I know what it's like, the doors of the church open and to come up and to shake the people hand, right? And get my name on the book. Right? But it wasn't until I came to the message of the hour where I realized that there was a little scripture over there where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and say, buddy, listen, you must be born again. What? See, it's vital. It's something that you can't get around. It's something that's required that you must be born again. Right? Glory to God. See, you say, y'all still preach that? Yes, because there's still people trying to get in by a handshake or an association with, you know, Brother Branham and his children and things of that nature. Or some great preacher being their friends. Or even, now this going to just sting just a little bit. Well, I'm in the message. Right? See, you could be in something and not be in something. You can have an association. See? And that's what has happened to a lot of people. They had an association and a mental conception, but never really had a birth. And the moment some real issues came, right? I go fishing. You know, right? The same idea with Peter and them. They had an association, right, with Christ. They was a part of the church. They took part in miracles and things of that nature, right? But when the shepherd was smitten, then the sheep kind of, you know, he went and found Peter fishing and things of that nature, right? Amen. But when Peter, got a birth, you never see in scripture where he backslid like that, right? Amen. And so that's a part of what's been required in the evening time under the light of the word. Right. See, people think that Brother Branham came and did something that was outside of scripture. His ministry was to turn us back to scripture. To show the fallacy in the things that people were doing that was so contrary to the scripture. Right? Like shaking hands. Right? And just being a part of these systems and programs and things that were set up. Right? Amen. This is not a denomination. Glory to God. It's not. See? This is a quickening. This is turning our hearts. This is a work of grace. Yes. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. This is real fellowship under the bleeding bloody word. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So that's why when I see people doing what they're doing, that's like, they ain't got nothing to do with me. No. Come on, y'all ought to preach with me, somebody. That has nothing to do with me. Right? Because I appreciate what's been quickened. Amen. So you know, we realize after the fall, the unbelief coming in, it brought death, it brought sin, it brought this ideology that we see now. All of this his and her and this and it drives you crazy now. Right? Almost even on your job, you just got to be careful, right? You used to could stand up for what was right. You used to could kind of stand up for real principles, but now the way that they got it, they have more authority than what the believer have. And even Brother Branham told us back then in the 60s, you know, the inner workings of what was working in politics and the percentages of these guys that had these different types of spirits on them working in politics. And now look at the laws and the cancel cultures now. And the influence that these guys have, right? The influence. It takes something to stand for the word. Glory to God. But with all of the unbelief that kind of come into existence, you know, God sent Christ on the scene and crushed him because it was necessary. Right? It was. So, and a lot of times people don't understand, well, why God had to do it that way. And, you know, I'm reminded of a quote where Brother Branham was talking about this smart guy. And he couldn't understand how God, you know, this great God would allow these people to be put to death and to go through all of this trauma like that they went through, not realizing, he said, you know, it had to happen. They had to, you know, a seed had to fall into the ground and die. It was necessary for God's program. See, what people don't understand, and we wouldn't either if we didn't have a prophet to open up our understanding so that we could see why under that day, amen, and its message back then, these people had to be, amen, killed and martyred under the ox age, right? Why it was so necessary for the, right? Because we try to see God one way, but God is a God of grace, but God is also a God of judgment, right? If he's father, because most children want to their God to be their father, to be the daddy of just grace, you know, and smiles and just giving and buying and but they don't want that daddy with the judgment rod. See, as young adults, you know, my children still kind of looking at me like I was a tyrant, right? But to me, it was like, you know, I had multiple hats. There was grace there, right? Because I wasn't a legalistic type person. But then, you know, there was times where, you know, Brother Branham say you pay for neglect. That I wouldn't neglect to use the rod. The rod had its purpose. The rod was necessary because ain't none of them in jail. See, they may not be able to understand anything that I did. But now some of, like my oldest is, you know, finna have his first, be my first grandbaby. And all I always tell my children this, I just pray to God that I'm around when y'all children start growing up. I just want to be a fly on all they walls. So I could come back and critique. Huh? Yeah. I could critique, but you didn't do that, just did you?
Yeah.
It was kind of the time when I think at the time I had three boys, and you know, it was coming up, and I used to get on them, and my wife used to say, "Honey, you just too rough on them boys." Too rough? I like, really? I say, "Well, listen, they're gonna whoop you, they're not finna whoop me." Unfortunately, they're not gonna whoop me, and the next thing I know, I see her got one by the ear, walking through the hall real fast and angry looking. I say, "Honey, you too rough on that boy." She couldn't. The next thing I know, I hear kids getting whooped, and I'm feeling sorry for them. Man. I'm like, one time she was beating my second oldest, and man, I declare, I'm like, "Well, what's going on in there?" Man, I went in there, he's screaming and hollering and rolling around and kicking. I'm like, I felt sorry. I wanted to grab the bell. "Honey, take it." "No." But I noticed you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Right? So you get to the point where, you know, you just have to stay biblical.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But you don't just whoop in anger.
No.
You know, I never beat them while I was angry. Right. I always did things while I had a cool level head.
Right.
You know, I'm one snatching them up because I'm a big dude. And I'm not going to jail for child abuse. Being this big, angry African-American guy just beat his little bitty. No, No, I'm going to be cool and calm. You know, my kids could tell you. They've never heard me argue at their mother. I've never raised my voice at them. I feel like this is my house. I don't have to be shouting and screaming. Boy, let me tell you something. Boy, I will bust your head to the white meat. Really? And you a Christian? You busting the head to the, y'all know what I'm talking about, to the white poncho? Man, you need the altar. You know, but I discipline them, with a cool demeanor, you know, but they still say I was a tyrant because I beat them. And I'll beat them again. If I had to do it, you know, this is the weird thing. If I had to raise my children all over again, I'd raise them the same way. You know. Pretty much, with more information, maybe a little bit of things I might do a little bit differently. But when I look at it holistically, I can't see where I did anything outside of the word that was given to me by a prophet, which was the mind of God, right? And how could I bypass that and say, you know, I could be an appropriate leader in my home? Trying to bypass the word and intellectualize it. I couldn't do it. So I appreciate God sending us a prophet. Right? Amen. To just show me and teach me, because I didn't have a dad. You know, if you got a dad, I'm going to tell you something. You ought to appreciate. Well, I put it to the light this way. I had a dad, but he wasn't much of a dad. Because he would be in our lives periodically, but, you know, he was, you know, he was what he was. Yeah. He drunk. Yeah. And that was his best friend. Yeah. But I still loved him to the day he died. Right, but I didn't gather the necessary knowledge that I needed to help me as a young man to navigate through society. I had to get my knowledge from society, which was enmity to God. Right? Glory to God. I had to throw all that had to become dung. Right? So that you know there could be a transformation, a renewing. Right? And I'm still renewing. That's still right now, and I'm 60 years old, and that's still a constant renewing. I pastored for 23 years, but there's still a renewing, right, of my mind. Glory to God. What? You better? Yes, I'm not ashamed of that. Right? I'm not ashamed of growth. Amen. Right? As I grow, I want to live to be. I heard some folk up in here like 90 something. Who? Where the 90 year olds up in here? It's like 94, right? 96 and 90 something. Y'all help me. I want to get their age. And you know, here's the thing. They walked in here better than me. In their right mind and all that. I'm inspiring to that. Right? If the rapture taking place, I'm going with the rapture. Amen. I'm going with the rapture. Amen. I'm a close out this morning because I have to. right? I have to. I've learned to be obedient. Brother Wade is my, that's my pastor this morning. So I've learned something. I've learned to be obedient. Maybe y'all, that felt funny. That just really felt funny. When I, y'all didn't respond like I thought y'all would respond. You know, but I've learned that, you know, Brother Jack preached here, right?
Yeah.
Brother Jack is my brother-in-law. Yeah. He's my pastor now. I'm older than Brother Jack by 7 years. I've preached longer than Brother Jack. I've pastored longer than Brother Jack. But I'm up under him now. So, you know, regardless of who I am, and I ain't nobody, but I submit myself to his authority.
Right?
Amen. And he's the pastor, and I tell the church all the time, do not come to me and ask me anything, because I'm not your pastor. He is. Right? And so, Brother Dale is my pastor, and I want to be obedient this morning. And we'll pick up this afternoon by the grace of God. And we'll preach a little while. And when the time to cut off this afternoon, I shut it all down, because I got a plane to catch tonight. You know, Brother Dale told me, he said, well, I don't like y'all ministers to just come in and fly out like that. I didn't want to do it. I was debating hard. I wanted to kind of stay over maybe till tomorrow, but I just thought, well, maybe I'll just do it the next time. If there be a next time, I'll drive my car and I'll stay. Because I like that guy right there. I kind of like that guy. Amen. Because, you know, he makes you laugh and all of that. He's not one of these starchy preachers, you know. Because I don't like that. I'm a funny guy when I get out of the pulpit. Up here, I'm really serious, but when I get down. Let us have a word of prayer, and I'll turn it over to, let us stand, Brother Dale. Gracious Father, it's the musicians. Let the musicians make their way up. We'll give them time. Appreciate the Lord. Let's give God a hand of praise this morning. Amen, amen. All right. Gracious Father, we just thank you this morning for your amazing grace and goodness. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that something was said this morning. I know that I didn't really get to where I wanted to go. We trust that we could get there this afternoon. But I just appreciate, I learned, Brother Branham taught us that the gift is the ability to get yourself out of the way. And I'm just used to getting out of the way and just letting you speak. I don't think any words that a minister speaks that's just living is in vain. Somebody needs something. So we thank you and we praise you this morning for all things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you.
Give our brother a big hand.
Father, I appreciate you. Sing it to him.
Heavenly Father, you've heard a good message.
Reap the benefits if you need it. Thank you, Lord. Oh,
Heavenly Father, I appreciate
my brother another good hand. You know, and like I said, when I went down and preached for him, this is how long ago it's been, we were singing, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary," every service. That was what Dad wanted to be sung to bring out on. And I went down to preach for Brother Willie, and his wife says, "I never heard it sung like y'all sing now." She said, "Y'all sing it so drawn out, like, you know," and she started singing it in that old southern drawl. And I, you know, "Lord, prepare me, you know, to be a sanctuary." So that's how long they've been watching in some of our services a long time ago. So, and man, the wisdom. Could you just not tell the wisdom? The wisdom. A man brings wisdom. You can't buy that. You cannot buy it. I wish some would. But you can't buy it. You have to develop it. And our brother developed wisdom through yielding himself today and being under headship and being under Brother Jack's a wonderful man. And yes, sir, I believe we'll have him back again if the Lord willing. So we won't have to wait till he's 90 to get him back. But we appreciate what he said. We appreciate it. And you see where he's going with it, so we know, being a knowledgeable. That's what Brother Jack said, y'all are a knowledgeable group. You kind of know what's going on. So we got to be crushed. You got to crush a rose before it really smells good. You got to crush a flower before you can really get the odor to it. So that's what he's heading toward, I'm sure, is that we have to be crushed. He had to get rid of his ideas. I had to be crushed. You had to be crushed. You know, sometimes we say, you know, something happens in our life, and we say, "Boy, that just crushes me." No, I don't crush you like the day you got born again. That crushed the old you right out of you. Amen? That just crushed us because he was crushed at Calvary. That's what we give back to him, is he gives us eternal life and then crushes that old nature out and puts his nature in. Remember, service at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and he does have to catch a plane at 9 o'clock, but I think we can get him down there. He can preach as long as he wants to, and I'll get him down there fast enough so we can get on a plane. So if he don't, then he can just stay over tomorrow. But we appreciate our brother coming. We appreciate the liberty that he was given, and we appreciate the word of God that he brought to us. So let's bow our heads. We'll get ready to dismiss. Go eat a natural meal. Be back at 2 o'clock. And remember all these in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for today, Lord. We pray that you would just be with us. Lord, as we take a time to eat a natural meal, Lord, that we'll chew on this spiritual food that we've just heard, Lord. And that it'll be, Lord, a part of us and become us, Lord. And as our brother said, Lord, we got to come to a place where there is judgment and there is grace. Lord, I pray that you, whatever's in our life, Lord, that judge it and get it out. And may the grace of God cover each one of us, Father. Just be with us now. Take care of us as we come back. Bless our brother, Lord. Give him strength, Lord, in his body. Father, we know that as we all getting older, we got aches and pains and can't do like what we used to do. But, Lord, I pray that you give him supernatural strength this afternoon to give us your mind, Father. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate